Thank you for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. The sermon is based on the lectionary readings for this Sunday. To stay connected to Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check out our website. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
Well, despite a riveting gospel, especially there at the end, I ask your permission to deviate just a little bit, and this morning I want to celebrate with you. For as you know, yesterday was a big day. One of our own, Joshua, was ordained at the Cathedral of St. Philip to the Sacred Order of Priests, and I must say, you, the parish of Holy Innocents, blew me away. Probably about 100 of you came. And what is even more miraculous is the great majority of you have shown up this morning. And so, a sermon about priesthood, baptism. So we begin with a little, well, trivia. It's a lesson in membership in the Episcopal Church. To be a member in the Episcopal Church means to have one's baptism recorded in the parish register. Nothing more, just your baptism. And I will note that it is still a dusty book. It's not digital, it's a dusty book. And there, being inscribed with all the names going back through the decades, indeed, the parish register that even comes to us from the old church established in 1872, your name is recorded as full initiation into Christ's body, the church. You may take communion. That's why infants can take as soon as baptized. You may teach a class. You may do all sorts of things, serving on guilds, committees. Confirmation comes later. It's known as the sacrament in search of a theology. And it is only required for three things: to serve on the vestry, to serve as a lay Eucharistic minister, or to be a candidate for holy orders. And as many people have said, thus the reasons not to be confirmed. Once you're on the roll, once your name is recorded in the dusty book, there are only two ways for the column giving transfer to have any ink. One, you ask for your baptism to be recorded in another parish. Or two, let's not talk about that one. You go on to the larger life. If you move to the moon and take up residency, you're still a member. If you stop going to church and hang out at Starbucks every Sunday morning, you're still a member. You can even write the rector a letter saying, I resign my membership and renounce my faith. And guess what? You're still a member. Now, to be a member or communicant in good standing requires other things, such as a tithe, a pledge, conscription. But that's another sermon coming in September. Yours truly is probably only one of a handful of people who absolutely love the fact that I'm getting ready to tell you. For you see, when Joshua Case came to Holy Innocents, he was a layperson, and he asked for his baptism to be recorded here. He became a member. When Joshua was ordained a deacon and again yesterday a priest, indeed when all of your clergy were ordained, we became the great and wondrous canonically resident. Meaning that our ordinations are now recorded in a dusty book we're canonically resident in the Diocese of Atlanta. But here's the amazing thing. The baptism is frozen in time. Joshua became a priest, became a deacon, became canonically resident in the Diocese of Atlanta, but he will never transfer out. He will never ask for his letter to go somewhere else. Forever, his baptism will be recorded in a dusty book at Holy Innocents Parish. Clergy don't transfer. They just become resident. And in the infinite wisdom of the church, the membership, the baptism of the priest remains in his or her home parish, the parish that sent them to be ordained. I hope in this strange, esoteric fact that you see a thing of beauty. I hope you see a thing of love. My brothers and sisters, priesthood does not magically bestow ability. It does not, by the miraculous laying on of hands by a bishop, transform the individual into some kind of superhero, able to dispense grace with ease, clarity, vision, and leadership. It will not take away Joshua's challenging traits. Any more than it will take away Martha's or Allison's, mine, George's, Ned's, any other priest or clergy that serve this great parish. Sure, some priests have gifts and charisms that allow them to lead in ways that we celebrate, but it is the humanity, the just-like you-ness of the priest that remains. At his core, Joshua remains a Christian on the journey, a Christian whose baptism is primary. He will try to go through the rest of his life to make sense of this thing called life, and by God's goodness, he will journey with you on that path. He will carry us to places, to people, to things that we've yet to dream or imagine, because on behalf of the church, you, the church, you asked for him to have that office. Today's church is starting to realize that the image of priesthood that we have peddled for the last, 50 years or so, we're starting to remember that that image is not only a modern invention, but a modern mistake. Sometimes from the, 50s to the 60s to the 70s, a model of priest developed where we thought that the priest was a super leader, a person who was the deposit of a therapeutic counselor, an administrator, an orator, a strategic planner, a development officer, and an institutional advancement director. And at other times, well, the priest changed light bulbs or cleaned the toilet or made sure the floor was clean or that the telephone worked, all those things. Sure, we want our priests to be these multifaceted stones. But the image of priests that we've been peddling for about 50 years had one great expense. It came at the expense of the priest's primary identity. For the priest is the community's keeper of the sacred. Not because the priest has it, but because you've given it to him. You have given it to her. You've asked the priest to hold holiness, to hold the sacred and sacramental in a way that you can touch it and feel it and see it. The validity of the sacramental life, the validity of holiness, has never been dependent upon the sanctity of the priest. That's been heresy since the first council of the church. Churches get in trouble when they create superheroes of their clergy. Churches get in trouble when they think that their clergy not only live on pedestals, but were made for pedestals. The sacrament is on the pedestal. In the same period, we began to do some rather callous things as well. In some corners of the church, we thought, well, we're too sophisticated for this faith. We're beyond that. We can let go of the ancient. We're too learned, too wise, too modern. We don't need to cling to it. And the more we did that, the more we began to cling to our past success, our past attendance, our past culturally rooted importance. Looking to the priest to become our fixer. Thanks be to God, the tide is shifting. Thanks be to God, a new day is dawning. As the church wisely reclaims the sacred order of priest. When I was ordained to the priesthood, well, a few years ago, I stood in my diocese at the age of 33 as the youngest ordinand in almost two decades. Yesterday, in the Diocese of Atlanta, as seven ordinands stood before the bishops, three of them were in their 20s. The church is recapturing the notion of the holy as young people return to the ancient forms of our worship, clinging to the mystical, the meditative, the beauty, and the holiness. And the church knows that it needs priests to embody those things. So we need priests to embody not professional Christianity, but the sacramental life. You know, a priest's job, simply put, is to empower you, the laity of the church, to live into your baptism, to make certain that what we do at this altar begins to happen at all the altars of the world. That you and me and all people can begin to take that sacramental life so seriously that with our priest we become walking sacraments in the world. For it is only in this way that the priest has a pew to return to someday. It is only in this way that the priest, upon completion of his cure, her calling, sits back in the parish church once again, claiming a former role, the role of full initiation into Christ's body, the church. You see, when properly understood, ordination actually limits the scope of the priest in the church. The expansive role, the big one, that's yours. The role of the priest is restricted, narrow, focused on the altar, upon the holy life, the sacramental life of this place. And the priest challenges you to take that holiness out there. And so, Joshua, on behalf of these people assembled, these people called the Church of Holy Innocents, your brothers and sisters from the font, we want you to know that we don't need you to be professional. We don't need you to be perfect. We need you to be you. We need you to be the person God knit together in your mother's womb, clothed with all the gifts that we so clearly see. We need you to celebrate your gifts because if you don't celebrate yours, we can't celebrate ours. We need you to stand here and point to the sacred, to administer the sacraments, to say the prayers even when you don't feel like it. We need you to stand here and affirm the faith when there's not an ounce of faith in you too, because those days will come. We need you to stand here when life is hard, when beauty and holiness seem far away, and death knocks at the door. We need you, not as our shepherd. We have one of those. We need you as our priest. We need you as our priest, whose name just happens to be recorded in a dusty book in this place. Your baptism will be recorded here until the day you die. It seems a simple fact. It is not. For in this fact, we see the hope of our calling. We see the purpose of our lives. We see the church of our Lord. May all the baptisms recorded here clearly respond to God's call to all people, to all places, in all times, until we sing, "World Without End." Amen.